peppy song and good message to it. Thank you, choir, and Sandy and Nancy for that special. Well, this morning we're looking at a Father's Day message, but it's for all of us. Continuation in Psalms 119. This morning, 73 through 80, the verses. And this particular passage of Scripture is a continuation of the psalmist, what he is experiencing on the outside world, but continue pressing forward, listening to God, and allowing God to work in his life, move his life, because he knows God is involved in control of his life and his situation. So in all of our situations that we see in life, I don't know, let me start over here. It jumped on me. So looking at verse 73, first of all, in Psalms 119, in your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. Now that's that verse right there. I pondered on that for a while as I looked at it this morning, because it says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. But that's for the positive, because sometimes we get tested, our faith does, and the psalmist is saying, even though I was afflicted, but I know you're in control, God. So, and then in verse 76, it kind of clears things up for me, because the psalmist is saying, oh, may your loving kindness comfort me. That's an important word in the Old Testament, love and kindness. You'll see that throughout the books of the Old Testament, because the Hebrew word for love and kindness is hesed. And the people of Israel, even though they were often rebellious, right, complained a lot, they still knew that God loved them and provided for them. And that's why that you see that word so often in the Old Testament, love and kindness. Remember that Hebrew word, and that's an important word, hesed, love and kindness. And then the remainder part of verse 76 says, according to your word to your servant. So psalmist says, I am your servant, and I will continue to serve you. And then verse 77, may your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie. But I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. In verse 80, may my heart be blameless in your statutes, so I will not be ashamed. Almost sounds like the Apostle Paul there, you know. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of salvation for those who believe in you. That's what Paul was saying, and here the psalmist is saying, in your precepts and your statutes and your commandments, and may as I live those and live those out of my life, that so that I might not be ashamed of my as being your servant. So as we look at this passage this morning, the psalmist knows that God is in control, and it's in faithfulness that God had afflicted him. Going back to verse 75, I pointed that out. So in order to make him a greater blessing, so others see him, his affliction, and the things coming upon him because of circumstances and so forth. So even though he was saying, you're in control, even though I'm afflicted, but yet may I be a blessing to others. If we would see that, as the psalmist is saying that this morning in our own lives, you know, people can still see the joy that we have, even though we suffer sometimes, we have hardships and disappointments in our life, but still, and those are the afflictions of this life. But the psalmist is saying, you know, because that can be a blessing, even though through those afflictions, others can see and be blessed as well. Now, he prays for more experience in God's love and kindness. And there's that word hesed, love and kindness, in verses 76 and 77. For their gathering together of the godly to him. May he, what do you say? May I be on the influence to them. May my influence and my impact upon their lives bring them to you. And so this, in this verse 79, both for his being fully equipped for that witness. That's what he was praying for. So the psalmist, he believed that God created him, had given him hope through his word. And you know, that's one of the things I expressed this week to the kids there at camp, that there is hope in their life, and they can find it in the Word of God. They can find it in praying. They can find it by finding godly people in their lives. They can find it in the church. Get involved and do something for the Lord. And the psalmist lays that out very clearly for us to understand that it impacted his life. It changed his life. And no matter how much affliction that he had, and you see that all the way through Psalms 119, and we experience that in our own lives each day ourselves. So God is still working on us. That's one of the scriptures that I closed out with on Friday morning with the kids, that in Philippians 1:6, you know, God has started and began a new life for you here at this camp. And some of them that was their first time at camp. And for some of them, it was their second or third. But whatever God has started in your life, he will continue that on. That's what verse Philippians 1:6 says. And he will continue that great work. And the Apostle Paul was saying, he was praising the Philippian church for their faith and their belief in God, and what he had begun in their life, he will continue that, and he was praising them for that. And here the psalmist is doing the same thing as God works through his life. So let's look at the first part of 73 through 75, faithfulness, faithfully fashioned by the Word. And we can be fashioned by God's Word. We can be, God's Word can change our life, and it can move us in a direction that is for the positive, and others can see that. So it is God's hand that the psalmist says that made and fashioned him. It made him. God's hands, you know, God's, you know, that was part of our basic training, was our theme. And we had this young man, he's training to be a Green Beret. He's 28 year old, and he started in the National Guard, but he's been all through all kind of different training to be a Green Beret. And he explained to us, and then I talked to him afterwards, some of the stuff he's gone through. And I thought, man, you put your body through all of that. But he has set his goal in life to be the best he can be. And he wants to be that the best he can be for the Lord, and yet to serve his country and his community and family. And he poured out his heart to those kids, and those kids sat there and they didn't move a muscle. they looked at him, and then after it's over, I mean, it's like a magnet. They just drawed. They went to him and just stood and asked questions. So I thought, that is so great. What a hero. What an inspiration, a mentor this young man is to those kids. They're giving his testimony about the Lord and how God is working in his life and sustaining him and getting him where he is today. And that's what the psalmist is telling us here. You know, it's through the Word and God's precepts, commandments, and knowing he's in control of his life that gets him through the afflictions of this life. So as men and fathers and people of God, you know, all we have to do is just trust God with our life and leave the circumstances of this world and this life to him. Now, then we must be also be remade by him. That's what the psalmist says. And therefore the psalmist prays, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Understanding. Now, that understanding comes from the Word. That understanding comes from the leading of the Holy Spirit as we read and study God's Word. So as we owe our existence to God, so we owe our spiritual conditions to his grace. And that was one of the messages of this week to the kids, and one of the lessons and message that we shared with the kids about God's grace. And if you understand that, we do owe our existence to God, so that we owe our spiritual conditions to his grace, because God just lays it out plain and simple for us to follow. And it's by God's grace that we even exist in this world today. Now, as we look in verse 74, the psalmist wants to be an example to God-fearing of the blessings that come to those who wait and hope in fulfillment of God's promises. So he is saying hopeful men and our fathers who wait upon the Lord bring joy with them. So we are to be excited about what God is doing in our lives. We ought to be excited and share it with others as men and fathers are people of God, so that others will know that, you know, God is real and God is fashioning us to something good, because he has a purpose for each one of us in this world. So your spirits are lift others, and we fashion others by the way we live. So those who hope in the future have placed their faith in the infallible Word of God, inerrant Word of God. And if we believe that and know that, then it will fashion and change our lives completely. Now, those who hope are grounded in God's Word, carrying the sunshine on their faces, okay? We ought to be smiling. That's one of the things I tell the kids. Go around and smile. Let people know that, you know, your circumstances in life and your home conditions may not always be favorable, but rest assured that God is with you and he will help you. But we got to go to him and lay out our plea before him. And of course, he knows what we need before we pray, but he wants to hear it from us. He wants to know that we are so grieved or afflicted in our lives that it's out of our control, but it's never out of God's control how he can handle and work things out on our behalf. So those who hope are founded in God, and they carry that sunshine on their faces, for they are laying joy unspeakable, and they are full of glory. And that's 1 Peter 1:8. Peter knew all about that, didn't he? And he shared it in the first chapter of 1 Peter. Now, as we move on and look at verse 75, the psalmist, he confesses in this verse that God acts of judgment and righteousness of men. It brings about salvation. It brings salvation in their lives. It's up to us to participate with God in this work by surrendering our life, or yielding our life to him. And we have to come to that part in our life that we realize, okay, if God's going to use me, if I'm going to be effective in life, then I've got to yield and surrender myself. And one thing about it, we cannot do it by ourselves, but nothing is impossible with God, is it? Everything is possible with God. So we have to yield ourselves to his grace and his mercy. That's what we have to do. The breaking of the outward man is God's way to reach and transform our inner being, the inner man, the inner father, the inner part of God's people. All right, second thing I want us to look at, not only faithfully fashioned by the Word of God, but in Psalm 76 through 77, the comfort and compassion that we find from the Word of God. And we know that Jesus, when he was here upon this earth, and we can read it in the Gospels, that he was very compassionate. And the Word of God brings comfort to us, and it demonstrates and it shows compassion all through the pages. And, you know, when we're down and out or not don't feel good and so forth, we can always find that comfort. And we know the Word of God does demonstrate compassion on our lives. And that's where that grace kicks in our lives. See, affliction, even though it may be for God's good purpose, for the good of us, to strengthen us, actually, and sometimes it may be bitter, right? It can be. But in verse 76, he speaks, for God's loving kindness is to be poured out upon him. There that word is again, love and kindness. God provides everything we need. He loves us. He's kind to us. And that kindness comes forth through his word and through the speaking of to us through the word by the Holy Spirit. So we are offered the love of God to comfort us and the word of God to encourage us. And let me say that again. We are offered the love of God to comfort us and the word of God to encourage us. I don't think I've ever sat down and not read the Bible that I was not comforted in some way. It encouraged me, and it also comforted me, and it meets me exactly where I am at any given point in my life. And it seems like always when I sit down and read, and I turn to a particular book, whether it be the old, it speaks to me where I am in that moment. And from there, it would take me somewhere else. Because the Bible is God's most and best interpreter. And it takes us to areas in our lives and where maybe we might not be comfortable. It brings us out of our shell. And it demonstrates and it shows us and it paints that picture in my heart that, okay, this is the change you need to make. This is what you need to do with your life. This is the purpose I have for you as a man or a father or a husband, a minister, and a Christian. This is where you need to be. And oftentimes, I'll get my pencil and paper and I'll just start writing these things down because it speaks to me inwardly. And therefore, if it speaks to me, I'm hoping it'll always speak to you as well, where you are in your life. And sometimes, you know, we don't listen to other people, but if we get into the Word of God and it speaks to us, we better listen, right? Because it's God speaking to us through His Word, and that's where it will make the difference and the change in our life, if we will listen, not just with our ears, but with our heart. We got to listen with our heart. As I was telling our kids this week, you know, God calls this organ in our bodies. It's called heart in the Bible, which is an organ. But it's where we do our. It's God, the Holy Spirit places that conviction that we think and we act and make decisions upon the way that we live our life. So we are convicted either to the right to do things that are right, or if we choose not to do right, then we do things that's contrary to the Word of God. But God is always going to teach us to do the right things we need to do according to His Word, because it is for the best for that we follow His commands and not these of the world. So He finds mercy, and He finds forgiveness, and He finds peace. See, you'll find mercy all through the Bible, the grace and mercy. You'll find forgiveness. And then at the end of all of that, and as you examine the Scriptures and as they examine you and point out things in our lives, and then we repent or confess of them, guess what? Peace sets in. Peace follows all of that. So the mercy and grace that God extends to each one of which we do not deserve, but it's unmerited favor on our part that God extends mercy and grace to us. And through that forgiveness, we find peace, and God is behind all of that. So all of these blessings come from living in God's kingdom and following His guidance. Now, in spite of our fallibility and our situations, we can always run to the arms of the Lord to find loving kindness. We can. Just run to Him and go to Him, and you'll find it. See, God has promised loving kindness to all His servants to abide in His relationship with Him and in His Word. So the psalmist also wants more compassion. Therefore, he prays in verse 77, compassion to be found in the Word as it is applied by the Spirit. And he also adds, and he says, for your law is my delight. It should be, shouldn't it? It should be our delight, because that's where we get our instructions. That's where we get our guidance. That's where the Holy Spirit points to the Word of God and says, you know, this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to change, and this is what God has to offer you to make your life a living purpose. And in Romans 12, it says that, you know, in our lives as Christians, we are to be that living sacrifice, in which is our reasonable service to the Lord, because He gave Himself for us. He came to this earth. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. And therefore, it is only reasonable for us to be living servants for Him. It says sacrifice. And obedience is better than sacrifice in the Old Testament when you look at, you know, our service to the Lord. So His law should be our delight. Okay, finally, unashamed because of the word. Unashamed because of the word. In verse 78, the psalmist turns to the proud with a plea that they be punished for their disloyal actions. Now, the psalmist is just looking for justice for them. You know, we're in our court system when the criminals or those who disobey come to the courts. They're going to get some kind of a justice, and hopefully they always get the right justice. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. Those who are ruled by God's precepts know the time is on their side, though. And those ruled by their own reasoning are headed for disaster. And that's why Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. So it's always best to be on the Lord's side, right? It's best to be on the Lord's side and following His commandments. And that way we know that God is very pleased with us. Now, he prays to become sound in the Scriptures in verse 8. And we need to be sound in the Scripture. We need steadfast in the Scripture. See, Paul expresses the same concern to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. And that's, boy, this is a good verse for you to memorize. This was one of the ones for our kids to memorize this past week. But it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who needs not to be ashamed, adequately handling the word of truth. So if we know it, we can adequately handle it or share the truth, because we know that it works for us, it'll work for anyone else. But we are workmen for God. And we need not to be ashamed of the gospel or of God's word. And that way, when we're not, and we are adequate, read upon it and studied and meditated upon it, then we can handle it and we can share it unashamedly. All right. Now, the comfort of this verse here, verse 80, is that God will answer his prayer. He will answer prayer. For God can establish in our heart blameless. And Jude expressed a wonderful praise in Jude 1:24 when he said, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you sound in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. I like this verse. To the only God, our Savior, who Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all times, now and forever. And then he says what? Amen. Amen. Boy, that's another good verse. It's a little long verse, but you can still memorize it. Now you think about it. If these kids can memorize 66 books of the Bible, starting at Genesis to Revelations, this would be a breeze to memorize, right? And then 2 Timothy 2:15, those are two great verses for all of us to memorize and know, because at the right time we can adequate share it and help someone else in need. Okay, as we conclude this morning, I like that. Everyone can be a father, but it takes a lot to be what? Dad. I like that. You see, we might not delight in our circumstances, but we can pray that God will use them to spread his gospel and to glorify his name. And that's Philippians 1:12-16. So, you see, the enemy may attack us, and that's Satan. But when we turn to God's word, we can find hope, we can find help when we need it. So if we turn to Christ through his word, we will not be ashamed. I express that wholeheartedly. We will not be ashamed because we know that God is in control of all things. See, God's decrees are the best for us, and they are issued, again, this word, loving kindness. He loves us. He's kind to us. He provides for us. And so when everything else fails in this life, or when you're putting something together, you buy something, you put it together, and it doesn't go together right, you got pieces left over, you got missing pieces, then you say, well, I guess I should have read the instructions, right? Have you ever done that? I see some of you smiling. That has happened. It does happen. You say, oh, I can do this. It's so simple. Until you find out, it don't fit exactly right. And that is with our lives. So when everything else fails in our life and we get it all turned over, flopped around and stuff, and things just don't measure up the way we think, or our lives don't, read God's word for the instructions for your life. And it'll all work it out. It'll all work out. I promise you, I've learned it the hard way myself. I have. I'm in God's word every day, reading. And I have found that if you read this first, it saves you a lot of anguish and pain and sorrow. Because all the answers are right here for life. Everything. When I think about Noah, when God said, you know, I want you to build a ship, he gave him the exact dimensions and everything. Noah didn't cut any corners. He built it exactly. So when we follow God's plan, it all going to work out for the best, isn't it? God's not going to ask you to build a big ship like that. But he is going to give us instructions how to live our life and what we are to do and our witness to others and how to stay out of trouble.
That's true.
How to stay in line with him. May we pray. Father God, thank you for this day. We do thank you that it's Father's Day and we get to celebrate our fathers who are very active in this church and in the community and other churches as well across the nation, across the world. We thank you for the faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that there are fathers out there and children who really needs a dad. Anybody can be a man, but it takes a special person, dad, and to follow your precepts and your commandments and provide for the family, lead the family, teach the family godly truths. We need more men and fathers like that. Lord, through your word this day, may we got the message that we need to hear and that we need to respond to. It might speak to us in different ways because you're a personal God and we have different needs and responsibilities. But Lord, still, one message fits many pieces of our life and we can adjust to it and make amends where we need to for the good and embetterment of this world and for your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is